Stephen spoke or texted our pastor earlier today, talked to Frank a little bit, and kind of had a rough night. I think he got better maybe as the day went on, but he sends his love and wanted to express to everyone how much he misses you and desires to be back among God's sheep. Open your Bibles with me to Ezekiel 34. Ezekiel 34, we'll begin reading in verse 11. For thus saith the Lord God, behold, I, even I, will both search my sheep and seek them out. As a shepherd seeketh out his flock in the day that he is among his sheep that are scattered, so will I seek out my sheep and will deliver them out of all places where they've been scattered in the cloudy and dark day. And I will bring them out from the people and gather them from the countries and will bring them to their own land and feed them upon the mountains of Israel by the rivers and in all the inhabited places of the country. I'll feed them in a good pasture, and upon the high mountains of Israel shall their fold be. There shall they lie in a good fold, and in a fat pasture shall they feed upon the mountains of Israel. I will feed my flock, and I will cause them to lie down, saith the Lord God. I will seek that which was lost. I'll bring again that which was driven away, and will bind up that which was broken, and will strengthen that which was sick. But I will destroy the fat and the strong. I'll feed them with judgment. End our reading there. Let's go to our Lord in prayer. Our God and Father in heaven, Lord, we thank you for this day. We thank you for the opportunity to once again gather as a people, Lord, to read your word, Lord, to hear a message from thee. Lord, I pray you bless the preaching of the word here this evening. Lord, enable me to speak from thy word. Lord, enable me to not get in the way of your word. Lord, speak to our hearts this evening, I pray thee. Lord, for those of our number who are in a time of sickness and a time of trouble, Lord, we pray you'd be with your people. Lord, we think especially of our brother Cecil, Lord, that you would be with him in days to come, strengthen him, Lord, bless those that care for him. And Lord, we pray that you'd be with our pastor. Lord, pray you'd give him a speedy recovery and return him here to us once again to proclaim the unsearchable riches of Christ. Again, we thank you for this day. We thank you for your many blessings. We pray that you would be with us, or we pray for our young people. Lord, we thank you for these many little ones, and we pray you'd be merciful to them, Lord, that in your time, Lord, that you would reveal the Savior to them in truth and in love. Bless us this evening. Lord, set aside the thoughts and cares of this world. Let us see Christ. For it's in his name we pray and give thee thanks. Amen.
Blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine. Heir of salvation, purchase of God, born of His Spirit, washed in His blood. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day. Perfect submission, perfect delight, visions of rapture now burst on my sight. Angels descending bring from above echoes of mercy, whispers of love. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. Perfect submission, all is at rest. I and my Savior am happy and blessed. Watching and waiting, looking above, filled with His goodness, lost in His love. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. Praising my Savior all the day long.
Let's open our Bibles to Psalm 23. Before we read this 23rd Psalm or begin our study in it, just a point of interest here. I think it's obvious you can't have a 23rd Psalm without a 22nd Psalm. They're just in numerical order. But it's only after we read the Psalm of the Cross. And that's what that 22nd Psalm is, where he says, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? It's only after that's been revealed to us that we can truly enter into the Lord is my shepherd. We must see the value of that shed blood. That has to be revealed to us, the sacrifice of the Lord Jesus Christ. The sword awakened against his shepherd before we can see the tender care and appreciate the tender care of his sheep. And in a time of so much uncertainty, what seems to be, it's uncertain with us. Nothing's uncertain with God. But in a time of uncertainty, isn't it good to be reminded that the Lord is my shepherd? I'd like just for a few minutes for us to look together at this passage of Scripture this evening. And David, in this text, he says, the Lord is my shepherd. He compares the Lord God to a shepherd. And David was well versed in this occupation. He could speak about being a shepherd. You know, I was thinking about that. If I wanted to know something about flying, I would ask Bob Boy. I could ask Blaine if he was here. There's very few people that I could talk to that knew something about that. If I wanted to know how to sharpen a knife, I'd ask Earl Wooten. David could talk. I couldn't talk about any of those things. David could speak of being a shepherd because he was one. Turn back to 1 Samuel chapter 16. Look at verse 11. And Samuel said unto Jesse, are here all thy children? And he said, there remaineth yet the youngest, and behold, he keepeth the sheep. And Samuel said unto Jesse, send and fetch him, for we will not sit down until he comes hither. Samuel had came to anoint one of Jesse's sons as the king of Israel. And so little was thought of David that they didn't even bother to have him at the house. But think about, I don't know what all the other brother were doing, but David was, could there have been a more important thing to be? He was keeping the sheep. But here we see him as the shepherd. Look at chapter 16, look at verse 19. Wherefore Saul sent messengers unto Jesse and said, send me David, thy son, which is with the sheep. He's keeping the sheep. He's caring for the sheep. Look at 1 Samuel 17, verse 15. David went and he returned from Saul to feed his father's sheep at Bethlehem. Here we see him as the shepherd. We see him keeping the sheep. We see him feeding the father's sheep. And then look at verse 34. David said to Saul, thy servant kept his father's sheep, and there came a lion and a bear and took a lamb out of the flock. Here we see him as the shepherd willing to lay down his life for the sheep. And the work of the shepherd, hold your place there, we'll come back to 1 Samuel, but the work of the shepherd, if you see images of it in our time, you'll have some fella dressed in a flowing white robe and a beautiful cane out there walking around in the field with a row of sheep following behind him, or maybe he's even out there taking a nap or resting on one of the sheep while they wander around in the pasture. Portrayed as weak, portrayed as helpless, just out there amongst the sheep while they wander around. But that's not the role, and that's the way men portray a man named a man named Jesus in our time, as weak and helpless to do anything. A so-called Savior that is dependent upon man to do something. But look here in 1 Samuel 17. Look beginning with verse 34. At David's, this account, this is experience he had as a shepherd. David said unto Saul, "Thy servant kept his father's sheep, and there came a lion and a bear, and took a lamb out of the flock." Here's what the shepherd does. He says, "I went out after him, and I smote him, and I delivered it out of his mouth. And when he rose again against me, I caught him by the beard, and I smote him, and I slew him. Thy servant slew both the lion and the bear, and this uncircumcised Philistine shall be as one of them, seeing he hath defied the armies of the living God." That one sheep, that stray animal, had come and got it. And he's not going to lose it. He goes out and he lays down his life, and he smote the lion and the bear, defending and keeping the sheep. Again, willing to lay down his life for the sheep. Can that point to anyone but the Lord Jesus Christ? The old commentators, they write about men that went out and observed shepherds, true shepherds. Not ones for painting pictures, but true shepherds out in the field. And here's a few things they commented on. They said this, they would call their sheep by name. And the sheep would recognize the voice of the shepherd. Think about that. They call the sheep by name, and those sheep would recognize their shepherd's voice. What did our Lord say? He said, "My sheep hear my voice." They observed how they would fight to the death to defend and protect those sheep from thieves and robbers or wild animals. But our Lord said, "I lay down my life for my sheep." And then listen, this was their appearance. Reading about this, they said that they looked like warriors marching into battle. They have a long gun thrown over their shoulder and a dagger and a heavy pistol stuffed down in their belt. Described them as having fierce eyes and a scowling countenance, and gave the indication they were prepared to protect the sheep at any cost. Turn to Hebrews chapter 13. Look at verse 20 of Hebrews 13. "Now the God of peace, brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus Christ, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant, make you perfect in every good work to do his will, working in you that which was well-pleasing in his sight through Christ Jesus, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen." And then look at John chapter 10. Our Lord, the great shepherd of the sheep. Look at John chapter 10. Look at verse 27 of John 10. He says, "My sheep," this is our Lord speaking, "he said, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. They're not going to pluck them out of his hand. And then look, he said, my Father, which gave them me, is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. Isn't that what Abigail said to David? She said, seeing that you're bound up in the bundle of life, we're safe and secure in him. The Lord is my shepherd. Turn over to Luke chapter 15. Luke chapter 15, we'll begin with verse 4. One lost sheep. We read of one lost sheep. Again, we see the work of the shepherd. Look, beginning with verse 4. What man of you, having 100 sheep, if he lose one of them, just one, doth not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after that which is lost until he find it? And when he found it, he layeth it on his shoulders, rejoicing. And when he cometh home, he calleth together his friends and neighbors, saying unto them, rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep, which was lost. I say unto you that likewise joy shall be in heaven over one sinner that repenteth, more than over 99 just persons that have no need of repentance. One lost sheep, and the work of the shepherd. Well, what do we know? Just by this text here, what do we know about the sheep? How's that sheep described? He's lost. Isn't that what it is? That which was lost. And that's our condition. Lost. Ruined. Not just a little lost. We haven't just wandered off the path a little ways. He says we're lost. Not just a little fallen. We didn't just trip. Adam didn't trip in the garden. Adam fell. We're dead. That's the description. Dead in trespasses and sin. And listen, we've wandered far from the fold. Again, we haven't just made one little wrong turn there, and we'll get our way back on the right path. We've wandered far from the fold. That prodigal son, we read that he went to his father and he said, give me what's mine. And he took all that was his. And how's he described there? He took a journey into a far country. And then he wasted away his substance in riotous living. Lost. Lost. Without help. And without hope. And that's a description of all of us. All of us. Look at Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians 2 and verse 12. Paul writes, he says that at that time, you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, strangers from the covenant of promise, having no hope, and without God in this world. You hear that? We're lost. Lost and helpless to do anything about it. That's us. That's us by nature. Aren't we thankful for the shepherd? Back there in Luke, what do we read? What does the shepherd do? Well, he seeks. We read he seeks. He seeks that lost sheep. We read he finds that lost sheep. And when he finds it, he puts it up on his shoulder and he brings it home. And then we read he rejoices. He rejoices. He seeks it. He goes after that which was lost. Our Lord, Almighty God, sent Paul and Silas to prison. For one purpose. For one purpose. There's a Philippian jailer down there and his family. And they're going to hear the gospel. They're going to hear the gospel by those men being beaten. What good could come from that? Huh? Doesn't that sound awful? Cast into the innermost parts of the prison. Their feet bound fast in the stocks, in the innermost part. All for the purpose of sending the gospel to that jailer. We read this, he must needs go through Samaria. What's in Samaria? Well, there's a woman there drawing water. And our Lord is going to go reveal himself to her in mercy and grace. He's going to Jericho. He's going to pass through Jericho. And there's a publican there. Of all things, a publican. And he's just there to see what's going on. He's just there for the show. He climbed up in a tree to watch the Lord pass by. And we read that when our Lord came to the place, think about that. That place determined from before the foundation of the world. The Lord's going to cross his path. And our Lord stops at the place and he looks up and he tells Zacchaeus, come down. He showed mercy to him. I was thinking about this, and was it in the 50s that Rolf Barnard came to town? Down there in the park. And you know, a lot of people, from what I read, got pretty upset about things that were being said there. Boy, a lot of people gave thanks, didn't they? Huh? God brought the gospel to this town. Today, he continues to send forth. I believe that's the only reason this world's still turning, because he continues to send forth those men to preach the gospel, calling out his sheep, seeking his sheep, and calling them out, preaching the word. Ezekiel 34, verse 11. For thus saith the Lord God, behold, I, even I, will both search my sheep, and I'll seek them out. I'll search for them, and I'll find them. And that's what we see next here. He seeks that sheep, and he finds it. Not one's going to be lost. Nothing is hid from our Lord. In John chapter 6, verse 39, we read, this is the Father's will, which has sent me, that of all which the Father hath given me, I'll lose nothing, not one, but raise it up again in the last day. That lost sheep, he seeks it, he finds it, and then he brings it home. He carries it home. He's not putting it on a leash and dragging it in. He puts it up on his shoulder, and he carries it home. The Lord Jesus Christ, he bore our sins, and he carried our sorrows. Verse 5 of Luke 15, it says, when he hath found it, he layeth it on his shoulders, rejoicing. Who does the work here? Huh? It's all of him. It's all of him. And he bears it up on his shoulders. I was thinking about this. I worked on a farm when I was younger. And there would be times that when those cattle would start dropping calves, and it was always in the winter and it was always cold, we would have to go out and search till we found those calves. And when you found them, you'd try to push them, but that wouldn't. The only way to get them back to the barn was to get down and pick them up and throw them over your shoulder and carry them back. And if anybody's familiar with that, you'll know this, that when you pick up a lost animal, usually they're covered in mud and blood and other things that tend to ooze out of them when they're nervous. But whatever's on them is on you. Whatever's on that animal is on the person carrying them. these little, Ben, you've probably done this. You pick up a frog. Have you ever picked up a toad? And that toad's dry when you pick it up. And after you carry it for a little bit, your hand's wet. And it's hard to wash off, and it smells awful. Same kind of experience there. But think about this. Think about what our Lord bore when He carried us. Think about the worst possible substance you can think of getting on yourself, and it doesn't even compare to what our Lord bore. He bore our sin. Is there anything worse? He bore our sin on His body, in His body on the tree. The Scriptures declare this, that He was made sin. Made sin. The Lord Jesus Christ made sin. God made Him sin that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him. And yet, the Lord Jesus Christ is the spotless Lamb of God. He's absolutely perfect. And He had to be. He has to be. The Scriptures declare this of the sacrament. It must be perfect to be accepted. And we know He was perfect. God raised Him from the dead and set Him at His right hand. He said, "This is My beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear ye Him." He's the Lamb without spot and without blemish. Over in Isaiah chapter 40, let me just read this. "Behold, the Lord God will come with strong hand, and His arm shall rule for Him. Behold, His reward is with Him, and His work before Him. He shall feed His flock like a shepherd. He shall gather the lambs with His arm and carry them in His bosom, and gently lead those that are with young." That lost sheep, that poor lost sheep, He finds it, He brings it home, He puts it up on His shoulders, and then last, He rejoices. He rejoices. Verse 6, "Rejoice with Me, for I have found My sheep which was lost." And then look at verse 7, "Likewise shall joy be in heaven over one sinner that repenteth, more than 99 just persons." That work, the work of salvation, the work of deliverance, it's all of Him. He seeks, He finds, He brings home, and He rejoices. He rejoices. And why would He? It's for His glory, isn't it? What He did it all for His glory. Well, isn't that a good description of the shepherd? The shepherd of the sheep? Now turn with me back to Psalm 23. The Lord. David said, "The Lord is my shepherd." He is. You see that? He is my shepherd. Not could be. Not might be. Not will be if you let Him. The Lord is my shepherd. He is. And this is personal here. He's my shepherd. Think about that. He's my shepherd. And David says this, I just feel David says this with confidence. Again, David knew something about the work of the shepherd. He said, he's my shepherd to protect, to keep, to defend. And think about this. As my shepherd, He knows my wants. He knows my situation. He knows my needs, my sickness, my infirmity, my weakness. He knows everything that concerns His sheep. He's my shepherd. And with that being true, as a result of that being true, David goes on, he said, "I shall not want. I shall not want. I shall not want." You can interpret that two ways. I shall not fail. It also means I shall not come short. I shall not come short. Daniel interpreted that writing on the wall for old Belshazzar. He said, you've been weighed in the balance and you've been found wanting. You didn't make the mark. Scriptures declare this. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. I shall not fail. I shall not come short. Not the believer, because we're in His hands. I shall not want. I may be nothing but a weak and helpless sheep, but I shall not want. I may be a dumb sheep that wanders and strays, but I shall not want. I may be an old, feeble sheep that is sick and sorrowful, just have a few days left out in the field, but I shall not want. Why? Because the Lord is my shepherd. Verse 2, I shall not want for rest, because He makes me to lie down in green pastures. We're not even smart. I sit up there, I may be a dumb sheep that wanders and strays. Strike that. Huh? There's no maybe to it, is there? Look at that. He makes me to lie down in the green pastures. I shall not want for peace, for He leads me beside the still waters. I shall not want, verse 3, I shall not want for redemption and forgiveness, for He restoreth my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for His name's sake. He clothes us. We're clothed in the very righteousness of God. We're made righteous. He made us righteous. Verse 4, I shall not want for companionship or comfort. He said, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I'll fear no evil. It's a valley. There's something on the other side of a valley, isn't there? Huh? It's a valley we're just passing through. The sting of death is sin. That sting's been removed by Christ. He's taken it away. And He said, I'll fear no evil. I'll fear no evil thing. How's that? All things are determined by God. All things. Nothing happens without His knowledge and His will. He's determined. And whatever it is that may come our way, and I look at this time right now and think, what in the world's going on? We know this is for our good, and it's for His glory. I wished I could just hold on to that for more than 10 or 15 seconds. And nothing in all of this, nothing can separate us from the love of God, which is in the Lord Jesus Christ. I'll fear no evil. David said, I'll fear no evil, for Thou art with me. He said, Thy rod and Thy staff, they comfort me. And with that rod, He rules His flock. He defends His flock, and He directs His flock to wherever He'd have us to go. I shall not want for provision. Look at verse 5. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. A lot written on that. But listen, He supplies every need. Every need provided. Abundantly Not only is it provided, it's provided abundantly above all that we could ever hope or imagine. Verse 6. I shall not want for anything in this life or the life to come. He says, for His mercy and goodness shall follow me all the days of my life. His grace, His free grace, His love, His favor, His mercy in Christ, all the days of my life. And I'll dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Not as a stranger, not as a guest, but as a son. How's that? We're made sons, aren't we? Huh? Think about old Mephibosheth. There he is down there Lodabar. Fetch him. Bring him back to me. Set him at my table. He's going to eat there continually. How's he going to eat there continually? In what condition? As a son. As a son of the king. He's going to eat just like he's my son. The Lord Jesus Christ. He is God's shepherd. He is the one shepherd. He's the great shepherd. The Lord Jesus Christ, the great shepherd of the sheep. He's the chief shepherd. We read, when the chief shepherd shall appear, ye shall receive a crown of glory that fadeth not away. He's the good shepherd. The good shepherd that giveth his life for the sheep. Our Lord, again, he said, I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep, and I am known of mine. And that's our hope, isn't it? Huh? Isn't that our comfort? The Lord is my shepherd. Well, I pray the Lord would use this message to instruct us, but also to comfort us. And pray we'd look at that often and be reminded of it often. The Lord is my shepherd. All right. You're dismissed.